Well, I haven't been here for a while because around the holidays, the chaplain or chaplains are away, and I wind up spending more time in prison. So it's good to be back. I was blessed by last week's teaching. I caught the tail end of it, and then I was thankful for the notes that were posted online and went back through that. And I was asking the Lord what I should share today. Last week, Bill spoke from 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I would like to speak today from 1 Samuel chapter 2, which actually I will speak. I'll give you a synopsis of 1 Samuel 1, but in 1 Samuel 2, you can divide the chapter into two halves. One half is Hannah's exaltation, which we'll spend some time on. And the second half is on Eli's sons. And they seem like very different, but there is a commonality to it. But before we get to chapter 2, let's look at chapter 1 very briefly. 1 Samuel chapter 1 tells us of Hannah being barren, and this is her trial. It's laid out right in the beginning. Verse 2, it says that Hannah was childless, and how it was, in the next verse, it tells how it was a great trial to her. She was part of a polygamous marriage. So she had a rival, Penina, and Penina used to provoke Hannah, and Hannah was troubled without that to begin with. Penina only made it worse. By the way, when you're in a situation where there's trouble, don't make it worse. Don't make it worse. Now, if you're the source of the trouble, that helps a lot. But you're reacting to the troublesome person to make more trouble makes things worse. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." So that we have a calling in our trials, in our situations, that where there's trouble, we should be a peacemaker. So Hannah was childless, and she was grieved. And in verse 11, we see that Hannah prayed and she made a promise to the Lord. And she said that you, down in verse 11, if you will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. So that was a sign of being devoted to the Lord. That's one of the words I want to speak about today, is devotion. I would title this Faithfulness and Devotion to God. And that's the thing that's common or between Eli's sons and Hannah. One is faithful and devoted. The others are not. The sons are not. So in verses 19 to 20, I'm going fast, but in verses 19 to 20, we're told that Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named his name Samuel, which means asked of the Lord. So Hannah acknowledges that this son is a gift from God. And then we see that in verses 27 and 28, Hannah keeps her promise. And she says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And they worshiped the Lord there. That's a beautiful thing, that thing that she kept her promise. A lot of people make promises to God but don't keep them. I know two men who I know through the prison ministry. Both of them went to Vietnam. Both of them went through great trouble. One was severely wounded, and he thought he would die. And he said, "Lord, if you get me out of here, I'll give my life to you." And he did get home, and he did follow the Lord from that time on. He kept his promise. The other man was not severely wounded, but he was, you know, in danger. And he said, "Lord, if you get me out of here, I'll follow you." And Lord, he got home safely. And 20 years later, he began to follow the Lord. That's not how we should keep our promises. It's good that he did finally. But God wants us to be people who keep their word. There are verses in Proverbs about keeping your word. So I want to encourage you to be honest with God and committed to God, and in conversation with God, keep what you promise to God. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I said that because I was in trouble, and now I changed my mind. But God sees. God knows. So then in 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 11, which we now will read, you could call this Hannah's song or Hannah's exaltation. It's very beautiful. It's really a remarkable thing that Hannah's heart was so full. It's so rich. So read it with me. Hannah also prayed. Before I do that, it says, and they worshiped the Lord there. The thing about worship is that it's not well understood by most people. Most people don't understand that worship involves sacrifice. Now, every place in the Bible that worship is talked about, sacrifice is talked about. The Lord said, no one shall appear before me without an offering in the Mosaic Law. We also see the first occurrence of worship in the Bible is when Abraham offered Isaac, tremendous sacrifice, that God last minute gave a reprieve, but he did offer it. And here we see that Hannah says, I've lent him to the Lord. She could have said, I really want to have my son at home. But she kept her promise, and she worshiped the Lord. Now, we call the part of our service where we sing, and it's commonly called our time of worship. If you think that's the worship part of the service, it's true, but it's not the only part of the service that's worship. And it's not the only part of our life that's worship. Worship is 24/7. It's what we do all the time. And it always involves offering to the Lord. You offer him your praise and your joy and your service, your heart. There are songs that we sing at Christmas time about what shall I give to him? I'll give him my heart. There's a lot of shallow Christianity, which is reserved for Sundays only. And that's not true of us. It should not be true of us that we are walking with the Lord all the time, walking in the Spirit, like Jesus did. He's our example. Jesus said, I always do those things that are pleasing to my Father. That's the way I want to live. I don't live it perfectly, but that's the way I want to live. So now let's read Hannah's exaltation. Hannah also prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is none like thee besides thee. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. That's what we were just talking about in terms of keeping promises. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to the grave and he raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. I want you to notice that word faithful. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones. Faithful, another word for faithful is loyal. That to be faithful to God means that you're loyal to him. It means that when you're tempted, you say no, because you're loyal to him. We see that in Genesis. When Joseph was seduced, he said, no. How can I do this thing against my God? He saw it as disloyal to God. So when you're tempted, whatever the temptation is, you're being tempted to be disloyal. Don't give in to it. Be faithful and loyal to God. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed one. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, and the boy ministered to the Lord in the presence of Eli the priest. That was in Shiloh. So now Samuel is in Shiloh, serving in the temple or the tabernacle, and Hannah and Elkanah are back home in Ramah. And if you read further, you'll find that they would come once a year. So she did get to see Samuel once a year, but that's a big gift that she made. That she made a promise and she kept it. So that's the first half, part one, that I want to talk about. I have four parts. The second part will be about Eli's sons, and then I have two short parts after that. So in chapter two, we read about Eli's sons. And read with me as I go, starting in verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They had no regard for the Lord. The custom of the priest with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was boiling, and with a three-pronged fork in his hand, he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and all that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is what they did at Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Moreover, before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give meat for the priest to roast, for he will not accept boiled meat from you, but raw." And if the man said to him, "Let them burn the fat first and then take as much as you wish," he would say, "No, you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force." And so the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. So for Eli's sons, being a priest was a self-centered thing. It was a racket. It was, this is all about me getting lots of food and not about serving Yahweh. By the way, I like to read the World English Bible fairly often because it uses Yahweh wherever Yahweh is in the text. Often you can't see it in the English translation. It says the Lord, and there are more than one word that's translated the Lord. But here the word is Yahweh. And Samuel was ministering before the Lord. I'm going to skip over that. Samuel is serving. And then we're told that Hannah receives other children. And now in verse 22, now Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons were doing in all Israel, and how they lay with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And you know, there were women who served in the tent of meeting who were devoted to serving the Lord, and yet here it's immorality going on in the temple. Some feel that in Jesus' time, Anna was such a woman. She was serving the Lord, but she was a godly woman. Here, there's ungodly priests and ungodly women. And Eli said to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. Know, my sons, it is no good report that I hear from the people of the Lord spreading abroad. If a man sins against a man, God will mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him?" But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for the Lord had determined to slay them. Now, that's very sobering, very sad. And Eli reproved them, but later we see that he is also reproved. And the reason is that his reproof was a weak reproof. He said, "Why do you do these things? And it's not a good thing you're doing." But he did not take any action. And that would have been painful to do, but he was avoiding that pain. Verse 27, there came a man of God to Eli. Verse 26, now the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and favor with the Lord and with men. So we have a faithful Samuel and a faithful Hannah, and we have an unfaithful Eli and an unfaithful sons of Eli. There came a man of God to Eli and said to him, "Thus the Lord has said, I revealed myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt, subject to the house of Pharaoh, and I chose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense and wear an ephod before me. And I gave to the house of your fathers all my offerings by fire from the people of Israel." So the Lord is saying, you have a great privilege that was given to your house. And with that privilege came a provision from the altar. "Why then have you had a greedy eye at my sacrifices and my offerings which I commanded? And why do you honor your sons above me by fattening yourselves upon the choicest parts of the offerings of my people of Israel?" We see in a later chapter that Eli, when the judgment comes in chapter 4, it says that Eli was a very, very heavy man. So even though his sons were stealing from the offerings and eating the fattest part of the offerings, it seems like Eli was eating it too. He was fat and did not correct his sons. "Therefore the Lord God of Israel declares, I promised that your house and the house of your father would go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." You know, that verse is a verse that is in the movie Chariots of Fire. I don't know how many of you have seen that movie? But when he's about to start the race, his sister brings him that verse. It was his sister in the movie. I thought it was his sister. I have to go back and watch the movie. Yeah, not right now. So anyway, somebody brings him that verse that he's made a sacrifice by refusing to run on the Sabbath, as was his conviction. And then when he's about to run in a race that he has not trained for, it says that I will honor those who honor me. It was Eric Little, who later became a missionary to China. So, and he wins the race. So the Lord says, I will honor those who honor me. You know, if you honor the Lord, God will honor you. And if you live a life of disloyalty to him, you will be lightly esteemed. Brother Larry. Right. Right. Yes, that's right. Yeah, what Larry said was because he did what he did, he is honored. But if he had just capitulated, even if he had won, he wouldn't be as honored as he is. Behold, the days are coming, verse 31, when I will cut off your strength and the strength of your father's house, and there will not be an old man in your house. And then in distress you will look with envious eye on all the prosperity that will be bestowed on Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever. And the man of you whom I shall not cut off from my altar shall be spared to weep out his eyes and grieve his heart. And all the increase of your house shall die by the sword of men. And this which shall befall your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, shall be assigned to you. Both of them shall die on the same day. Now, if you read further in chapter 4, this is fulfilled. In a battle, the Ark of the Covenant is captured, and in that battle, Hophni and Phinehas are killed. And the messenger comes and tells Eli, and Eli was sitting on a chair, and he fell over backwards and broke his neck and died. He was a heavy man. And God's judgment was on all three in the same day. In verse 35, he says, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall go in and out before my anointed forever. So this is now my part three. Who is the promised faithful high priest that he's talking about? I'll raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to everything that's in my heart and mind. Now, like many prophecies, there's a near-in fulfillment and there's a far-off fulfillment. The near-in fulfillment, some people thought it was Samuel, but Samuel is not a priest. He's a prophet. And he's not a descendant of Aaron. So it can't be Samuel. But it turns out that in David's time, there were two priests. There was Abiathar and Zadok. And Abiathar was a descendant of Eli, and Zadok was a descendant of Aaron, but not through Eli. And Abiathar was rejected. I won't have time to go into all that. In Solomon's time, Solomon removed Abiathar from the priesthood. And Zadok is the priest who carries on forward. And he is revered in Judaism as a very faithful priest who kept God's word. So that's the near-in fulfillment. But the far-off fulfillment is that Christ is our great high priest. And now you say, it says, before his anointed, that means his Messiah. Jesus is both king and priest, which never happened in the Old Testament except in Melchizedek. And it happens in Christ that he is a king and a priest. And then if you read farther in the letters, Peter says that God has made us a royal priesthood. Royal means kingly priesthood. So we are in the line of Christ as the high priest. And we are sons of God, so we are princes, so we are kings and priests. And then you see that stated again in Revelation 1 when John has a vision of Jesus, and it says, to him who loved us and has made us priests to our God. So we see that we are called to be a priest. Now, a priest is a person who has to be faithful to God. You know, we see what happens to an unfaithful priest. God wants you to be a faithful, loyal priest to him. That means that, what does a priest do? A priest intercedes for others. You're thinking, well, this is only about people in ministry. But we're all in ministry. And it's not about elders. It's not about pastors. It's not about Sunday school teachers only. It's about all of us to be loyal and faithful to God. And everywhere we go in serving the Lord, we meet people for whom we pray. And we say, Lord, help this person. And we may also be someone God uses to speak to that person. If you're a faithful person, God will have great use of you. And if you're not faithful, if you're disloyal, if you're living for self and for God, you'll be lightly esteemed. And so that is where I would like to stop, except to say, what about you? Do you want to be faithful in all your life? There's a song I've come to love that we sing in prison a lot. It says, I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. And the ending of that song is, in all I do, I honor you. In all I do, I love that line. In all I do, I honor you. I pray that you would be a faithful brother or sister, living for the Lord all day long, not giving in to temptation, not living for self. We live in a day where there are many who are big name preachers, but their life doesn't bear witness. They are taking the fat out of the offering, and we should never do that. And the same with honor and glory. That if you're doing anything for the Lord so that you'll get noticed, so you'll get praised, it's impure. If you say, Lord, all the glory to you, and I don't need to be noticed, I'm glad to do it without being seen, then you're in the life of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this portion of Scripture, for the serious warning that it gives us, Lord. And Lord, we also thank you for the beautiful story of Hannah and how she was faithful and she made a sacrifice and she gave it to you and she loved you. And Lord, I pray that we would be people who worship you and bring a sacrifice, offer an offering that's costly. We give it gladly, we give it from our heart. Lord, we pray that we would not take the glory for ourselves, or we would not live for money or for pleasure, but we would live for you. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We can have our sharing time.